Hello, friend. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Zach Holt, and this is Come to the Table. Some of our most intimate conversations happen at the kitchen table. Walls crumble as space is created to know one another more deeply. Our hurt and our heartache are replaced by hope and healing when we pull up a chair, let down our guard, and simply be who we are, where we are. In our time together, we will step into the shoes of others through recovery stories of redemption, offer resources and connections for those in need, and come together as a community starving for revival in our region. So if you're hungry, you came to the right place. We're very excited to be here today. So grateful for the partnership we have with WEHC. It's been a joy. It's hard to believe it's been a little bit over a year now since we started doing our show. And it's been a lot of fun to be in here recording. And today I have not just one, but two amazing friends with me. One of them is Mrs. Victoria Holt.
Hi. Say?
And the other is Mr. Uriah Boer.
What's up?
So as we approach the holidays, I thought it'd be fun and different to have the three of us here kind of reflecting back on some of the things we celebrated over the past year and kind of just let the conversation flow and see where we go. So it's interesting because today is December 16th, 2024, and 8 years ago today is when I got clean. So today is a special day. It carries a ton of significance for me. And every time an anniversary comes up, and December's full of them, actually, not just my sobriety date, but also the date we started 117 discipleship. And there's something else that happens. Christmas is in December.
Skylar was born.
Skylar was born in December.
Seems like there's something else.
Oh, we got married.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it
is. So December is filled with anniversaries and celebrations, and it's a beautiful thing to look back and to see all of the years that we've been able to enjoy. And there was a long time in my life where I couldn't celebrate, and I didn't feel like I had anything worthy of celebration.
Yep.
And now every day is something to celebrate. I remember when I was a little kid, and before I was allowed to come down and see what Santa had brought, I had to sit on the top step with my sister. And my sister was a little bit older, that she was 10 years older than I was. And so I was off the rails on a good day. So I'm sitting on the top step, and Mom wouldn't let me come downstairs. She was getting things ready. I had no clue what that meant. I just knew that it felt like forever before I could come down and see what Santa had brought. So I'm calling down. I'm like, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? I'm like, it's been 1 minute. How much longer? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? And like, I was filled with such excitement. Like, I could not wait to get down and see what was under the tree and open it up. And today, 8 years in, I still have that sense of anticipation and excitement. Every day I wake up, I am bouncing off the walls. And every day I wake up, I'm genuinely excited to see what present God has for me to unwrap.
Amen.
Because I see that every day is a gift, and everything is worthy of celebration. You know, like today, instead of being driven to the jail in handcuffs, I drove my truck to the jail and walked in through the front door.
And they gave you keys?
They gave me keys, and I got to go in, and instead of being an inmate, I got to go in as a free man who had been freed by God with the hope of freeing other men.
That's right.
And it's just a beautiful thing. I think when you're aware of all that He's done in your life, every day becomes a present waiting to
every
be
unwrapped. Day. Yeah.
Yeah. So Uriah, what are some things that you're celebrating now? What do those anniversaries carry weight, or can you kind of relate to any of that?
I'm about like you. Every day is an adventure. Mm-hmm. You know, with what we do, every day is holds something new. And I'm excited every morning when I wake up to see what He's got in store for us for the day. You know, and another anniversary in 2 weeks on the 23rd will be my 2 years clean. So there's another anniversary for December.
I love it.
Yeah.
What date is that?
December 23rd, two days before Christmas.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I look back over, especially this last year, and it's just been incredible. Like, it's been a wild ride. You know, I graduated 117 mm-hmm. a month ago, here for 10 years, but mm-hmm. it's just been a little over a year. But, yeah, I'm excited to see what the future holds, what's going to happen.
It's amazing what he can do with really two years. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I look at, over the last year, I look at the growth that we have seen at 117. You know, it's a different program now than whenever I started a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like, guys are sold out. They're on fire. Mm-hmm. They are just excited about what we've got going on. And, you know, for us to expand, mm-hmm. that's what we've got to have. Mm-hmm. We're bringing up leaders, and it's beautiful to be a part of it.
Do you think, because I would say that the growth I'm most excited about is not, like, numerical, but biological, yeah. right? Like, I think there is a greater maturation that's happened in the lives of the guys that we pour yeah. into. Like, the culture of our residential program is, it's different. It's like the bar got raised.
Yeah.
And it was like people just rose up, you know, to that new.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got guys like Al and Jimmy. I'm so excited about them, man, because they're just anything that we need of them. Mm-hmm. They're excited about the program. Mm-hmm. You know, anything they can do, they want to do, and it's beautiful.
What about you, Mrs. Holt? What do you have to say?
Yeah, it's been a year of a lot of ups, a lot of changes. December is always one of my favorite months because it's like all things glitter and sparkles, and then I have the excuse to like cover the house in it, that then just kind of remains for the next 11 months until I can bring it all out again. So I don't know. December's always been one of my favorites. It's when my youngest was born. I mean, daughter was in November, son was in December, both on holidays. These are when all of the fun things start kicking mm-hmm. up and like work quiets. So more family time, it's good.
It's always good.
So we are, I guess in a way, celebrating Skylar came back a year ago.
He did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's been your experience like watching him at our house and over the past year?
Oh, yeah. So Skylar's our soon-to-be 19-year-old. He is the little boy he was when he used to demand that Santa leave his left boot so that we could prove he was real. Like, I see the joy in him. He was like 7. Yeah, Skylar was like, if he's real, I would like his left boot. And I was like, what's he going to do when he gets to places that snow? And Skylar was like, psh, get a new boot out of his bag. So
it's fair.
Yeah, he's still, I can see the magic and glow. We were sitting wrapping presents last night for the angel tree, and Sky was asking 8 million questions. Should I read this or that? Should I read Genesis or John? And Lindsay was great. Lindsay's like, definitely read John. Fall in love with Jesus so that when, you know, God is correcting us and moving us into obedience, you can understand why and what he was driving to. So, like, that was beautiful. But his questions, and then Lex was like, hey, FaceTime me so we can girly pop, which is apparently her new way of telling me she wants to have girl time. And so we've got her on FaceTime while we're doing this, and she's inputting stuff, and Skylar's inputting stuff, and then you get the Bible According to Victoria, which is a little bit of The Chosen and a little bit, like, what is it? A little bit Holy, a little bit Hood. It's a mess. But never heard
a little bit Holy, a little bit Hood?
You've never heard?
No, I've never heard that.
There's a whole shirt. I'm going to find it.
Please do.
I'm going to get you a shirt. You're going to have one. Somebody's going to be like, where'd you get that? You'll be like, my wife. No, it's that growth in him. It's watching him come alive in Christ. It's watching him take the steps that I didn't expect to see. It's overhearing somebody talk to him and being like, oh, your mom and your dad. And he doesn't correct them. And he was like, it's that. It's the beauty in him saying, watching Zach love you is how I've learned how a man should love a woman and how a man should lead his family towards Christ. Like, I didn't see those things coming. It was with Lex. I was watching last month. We did a girls' trip for her birthday, and it was me and two of her aunts, and just watching, like, how excited she was to realize how loved she is. That's the growth this year that I've gotten to see. It's watching Jenny, which is our oldest, come down and like kidnap our youngest to go, kidnap in a good way, our youngest to go rock climbing and create a new passion in him, but also to like hang out and just be. So like it's those things. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite thing about our wedding? There's a direction that I'm going with this.
Is there more than one thing? Do I just have to pick one?
You can list a couple.
So before we got married, you were on one side of the wall and I was on the other, and you reached around and we prayed together. That was really special. Walking down the aisle to you and everybody just kind of melting away, that was really good. So when I got down the aisle, you immediately kissed me. And our pastor said, "Not yet." And you just kind of looked at him like he was kind of a little off, and you're like, psh. So then we go to say our vows, and you are very eloquent and planned out, and you had all your bullets on your little note card, and you'd written them probably 3 weeks in advance, and that morning I was Googling how to write wedding vows, which is how I started my wedding vows, but in yours, completely separate from me. You wrote about Ephesians 3:20, which is, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all things we can ever ask or imagine, which I also quoted slightly differently. So we took the same verse in different pieces, and when you put both of our vows together. And then when we finished our vows, you kissed me again. And at that point, Paul just shook his head at us. So then my next favorite was, once he pronounced us husband and wife, he said, "And now for the third time," because like every good Christian pastor, there are always three things. You can kiss your bride, and then having the kids come up and having him pray over our family as we became a blended family, and doing communion together. And then being late to our own reception because we stopped for Starbucks. Because
15 minutes late with a Starbucks.
You got to be 15 minutes late with a Starbucks.
We got a good picture in the middle of the Starbucks at Food City in our wedding gown. And
my wedding gown. You didn't have a wedding gown.
So one of the things that you've shared before, and I think this is where I'm going with all this, that the night of our wedding, ahead of us, I had Lily's put up in the room. Lilies are her favorite flower, and not the first time that I had bought lilies, but she made a comment that they were the same lilies but also different. And when we come into a new way of living, when we are born again, this brand new life that starts, it's the same, but also everything is so different.
Yeah.
It's like the first time I put on glasses and my astigmatism issues, like everything was like super clear, like high resolution. I could see individual blades of grass. Like I could see like full spectrum. And I just remember like, wow, it's the same, but also different, you know. And there is a sense that when we step into something new, that it's not altogether new. It's the same, but also there's something distinctive and there's something different about it. Today is this, it's the same Friday, but also it's different. And it's this radical reorientation of our existence. And our wedding was a beautiful moment for me because it was the same woman that I fell in love with, but also different, because now it wasn't a girlfriend or a fiance, you know, it was my wife, you know, same woman, but also different, same lilies, but also different, same Friday, but also different. And I think that as people are trying to, you know, maybe call others out of the darkness, or maybe trying to encourage some kind of change, a lot of times the tactic that I hear a lot is focused on fear and guilt and shame. But I find beauty to be a far more effective motivator of personal change than trying to scare someone into it or fear someone into it. Like, honestly, and I was in the jail a little bit ago when I was talking to the guys in there, I was like, if I knew then what I know now about beauty and intimacy, none of the narcotics would have had an appeal. No. If I knew the nature of the Father's heart for me, I would not have substituted anything for knowing him.
No. Know? The love of God. Like, when you get to truly experience the love of God, that's, I tell people all the time, sitting in 2C, seeing guys like you and Charlie Laddermilk and Charles DeBoard, and seeing guys that would take time out of their day and come in and talk to convicts and tell them, I love you. Like, it, that's what really grabbed me. And that's, I try every day to show the love of God. Because that's, I'm like you, it's a lot better motivator than fear. If you're doing something out of fear, are you really doing it? Is your heart in it? But if you're doing it out of love, your heart's behind it. And that's what this whole thing is. If your heart's not there, you know, what is it?
there's a we're talking about celebrations. There's a parable that's told, and basically the setup is that the master of the house wants to have this huge banquet, right? And so the master sends the servant out with all of the invitations that I guess he got on Canva or whatever. And so the servant goes out and gives out the invitations, and one after another.
Horrible excuses.
Bad excuses.
Horrible, you know? Excuses.
Yeah.
I just bought an ox.
I just bought an ox. Can't come to your party. I bought an ox. My wife won't let me, you know. It was the first time that excuse has ever been used. Not the last, but, you know, with other husbands, I would never use that excuse. You know, my wife won't
totally
let me
totally use that excuse. I'd be like, if
I think
you
I've
need
heard,
excuse,
I think he's used that excuse on me.
Right? If you need an excuse, like, I would be like, ooh. We have to go to jail, and then I don't elaborate, and people just look at me weird, and I walk away. Works out great.
My husband's back in jail again. Yeah, third time this week.
I have said these things, and people just kind of look at me, and I smile, because in my heart, it's going to lead to a conversation. Those are good conversations.
Yeah.
Because they're like, why? You're fine with this? And I was like, oh, yeah. Let me tell you what he does. It's a good conversation starter.
So the excuses of the first three, you know, that were invited were, well, they were bad excuses. So the master of the house pulls it back and he says, all right, fine. Go out and invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. And then he goes out but there's still room. And so then the master says, okay, now go out into the country lanes and the hedges.
Highways and the byways.
Highways and the byways that my house may be full. And, you know, there was a memory that I had of being first day of sixth grade and was at a new school, and I went from lunch table to lunch table first day of sixth grade, and there was room at the table, but there was not space for me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the same way that a lot of times there's room in the pews, but there's not space for the outsider.
Yeah.
You know, so there's room but no space. Those two aren't the same thing. And I had been invited to the party, so to speak, before, you know, and I had always made excuses as to why I couldn't join in with this beautiful thing that God was calling me into, you know. It was, well, I'm too busy, you know, or I would really rather go drink this or smoke this, or, you know, or I was planning on going to church, but, you know, I was up late, and, you know, so I made all these excuses, all these things, and they're all bad excuses. They're like, but when the Father kept inviting me, I remember there was a long time where I felt like, as a stepfather, being that, I mean, that's a hard role. It's a hard role to step into, teenage. Yeah. And so, you know, there were times when I felt like I would reach out and invite and try and pull, you know, pull him in. And I kind of, you know, felt shut down, you know. And after a certain point, you know, you kind of get fatigued in that. And you get to wondering, like, you know, well, God, I don't want to keep getting rejected, you know, but the beauty of the Father's heart, and this is what shaped mine, is that it's not how many times we say no to the invitation, but it's the time when we say yes.
Yeah.
And we allow the walls to come down And we say, fear's no longer going to keep me away from my Father. Fear's no longer going to keep me away from the banquet, from the celebration. And one of the things that I love about our ministry is that we connect with people who have no excuses.
Yeah.
We connect with people who by and large have not been invited to anything.
Yeah.
You know? And so to be able to the right ones and the ones who are out of good ideas and the ones who have nowhere else to turn and no other offers on the table, you know, then it's like it doesn't matter how many times we say no to the invitation.
Yeah.
It's that one
that
time
yes.
that changes everything. Our yes is louder than our no. It doesn't matter how many times we say no, it's our yes is louder than our no.
Yeah. 99 no's and one yes is still a yes.
That's right.
It's Josh on Sunday.
Yeah.
Josh Leonard.
Yeah.
It is watching somebody that I've seen kind of bebop in and out and his yes the night. I remember we were sitting, it was a Sunday night, we were sitting there, and all of a sudden Uriah looks over at me, and I think it actually might be on camera, you can hear it in the background. You're preaching and Uriah goes, "Gotta go, Josh said I'll go to rehab," and he just like walks straight out.
Yeah.
And the beauty in it is that nothing changes in what we're doing in this mix, mm-hmm. just the necessary people that knew what Josh needed, mm-hmm. picked him up and took him and went through rehab, going through BLR. And you can see when the guys start getting clean and start leaning in, you see like little sparkles of light coming through, and it's like mm-hmm. their countenance is different.
Same guys, but different.
It's the same, but different. So, like, listening to him sing, one, I never heard him sing, and
it's
I was
beautiful.
Just like,
it'll knock your socks off.
It was one of those. It's the first time Josh Scarberry sang when mm-hmm. I was like,
yeah.
And then everybody's like, he sounds like, is that? It sounds so. It was the same with Josh Leonard. He starts singing, and I think you said it. What he chose to sing,
yeah,
wasn't something that somebody else wrote that we inject an emotion into, like, this was where he was. Mm-hmm. So he's singing with a passion and a depth that you want to lean in. And even when everybody's cheering, he kind of like glances up, and it's that shyness of the kid that realizes,
yeah,
oh, I have friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm accepted. Oh, you like me.
Yeah.
And you can see it on his face and like the super shy smile. And then his eyes close and he goes back to playing. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks he's played at the Tabernacle. And it just, like, you know, that's when we started it. That was my hope. That was my dream, that Josh would be there leading worship every morning. And the last 2 weeks he stepped into that. And it's just, I sat back and watched him with the biggest smile on my face because it's beautiful. He's the same guy I've known for years.
But also different.
But he's different.
Yeah.
He's different because he said that yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's that one that'll change everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I can remember growing up, my mom, you know, she led worship at our church. And she had a song that she sang from time to time. I've got plenty of time, something like that. But it talking about how we would make excuses. Oh, I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time to clean my life up. And that was what I always said. You know, I've got plenty of time. I can do it later. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you know, God seemed fit to let me have that time, but not everybody gets that time. And that's what I love about what we do, is we're reaching those people before they run out of time, that have made excuses and have no excuses left. You know, I run out of excuses. I gave them all. You know, I'm like you. I was called at an early age, but I've gave the worst excuses. The excuses that you read in the Bible are good compared to some of mine.
I found a rock. It looked like it needed clean. Yeah, no, I got it out of the water, but it looked like it needed some more shine.
You know, I think as you look, especially through the Gospels, you see that there is this celebratory spirit that's yeah. just like, you know, every time, you know, he broke bread with other, like it was a celebration. You know, another one of my other favorite party stories is in the story of the lost son. And so it's a father has two sons, older one and a younger one. And the older one goes to his father and he's like, "Hey, Dad, you know, so I'm going to need my inheritance now, right? And so gets his inheritance and he goes out, goes to a faraway land and says he squanders it on wild living. He ends up broke and finds himself in a pig farm, feeding pigs and wanting the slop. Yeah. Hungry for that slop. And so he comes to his senses and he says, my father's servants are eating better than I am. You know, I'm going to go back, you know, and maybe my father will just let me be a servant.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll just, like, that's what I deserve. You know, if he'll just do that and I can go back. And, so he practices his speech, you know, and, he gets up and hits the road. And while he is approaching his father's house, the father sees him from a long way off, and the father runs to him.
Let's kill the fatted calf. He throws a party.
He's like, my son that was dead again is now alive. My son was dead, but now he's alive.
Yeah.
And so they threw this huge party for the son that was lost, but now he's found. He was blind, but he can see. He was dead, but now he lives. And what's really cool is how the whole community comes around that.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, I mean, even up until 8 years ago, I struggled to celebrate others because it took the focus off of me.
Me too.
So, like, even if I was at your birthday party, I'm still, like, kind of trying to find a way to, like, be seen, you know, and make it about me. And I could make anything about me. I was just incredibly selfish. But one of the things that I love is getting to come to the celebration for others. It's getting to watch others shine, come to the party that they've said yes to, right? It's not always my party. Sometimes it's like watching Richard the other Wednesday when he was leading the questions. Yeah. And I was like in the back, I was like crying, just like watching him because he was like, he was asking follow-up questions, and he was like saying, it's interesting that you've said this. Tell me more about, like, all of the stuff. It was like he was crushing it. He managed, you know, like when somebody got off track a little bit, he got it back on track, and it was just like all of the things. Like, he facilitated it so, so well, and it's just like I get a seat at the table, you know, to watch, you know, this celebration, and we get to see it with Josh, and we get to see it with other Josh, and we get to, you know, see it with all of our folks.
Brian preaching on a Sunday morning. I sit there last Sunday morning just listening to him. Yeah. He does so good, and it's just like, wow, it's almost like a proud daddy, you know?
It is a sense of, especially, you know, being able to see your fruit on someone else's tree, you know?
It's amazing.
That's one of the things I saw recently. I really liked it. It said, fruit trees don't grow the fruit for themselves. They grow the fruit for others. So the fruit that you are bearing, it's not for you.
It's not for you.
That's right.
So it's for you. So your patience is for you to dole out to others. Your love and your kindness and, I don't know the other ones, that's for somebody else. That's not for you. Mm. So I really like, when I think about it, like that's my click back. Mm.
That book that we read, Hero Maker, there was a line in there that I love, and it said, create a platform for others to stand on. And I see us doing that. You know, when Richard is leading, when Brian's preaching, you know, I see our guys stepping into those leadership roles, and it's beautiful. It's amazing.
It's gorgeous to watch it. So I've spent years work-wise having leaders that did that for me. And then it took a while for me to learn, right? Because it was modeled long enough for me that now I'm modeling it for somebody else and I'm making sure it's done. So, like, just watching that trickle down that just keeps happening. So watching it in 117 it's really beautiful because I remember being on our honeymoon and Zach's phone going off like crazy anytime Wi-Fi hit of anybody that had an iPhone. So stuff was just like flying through because there was three guys. And I love our guys, but it was like having toddlers that we accidentally left alone in a room full of toys by themselves. But they wanted the toy that one other person had.
Those early days, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Like,
but to see the growth in such a small amount of time, like that anniversary is worth celebrating in a way that we could celebrate like every 2 months, every month. the growth and change, because I can see the beginning of this year until now.
Oh, it's not.
I can
day.
See 6 months ago yeah. until now. I remember the days echoes. The guys wanted to surprise me, and they started a church, and I was like, "They what?" And he was like, "Yeah." So we're gonna do that, and I was like, "Okay." And I didn't say anything else because I didn't know what to say. I was like, somewhere in my head, I thought you guys had like magically built a church. So I was super confused. And he was like, yeah. So it was just it. And then out of that, it was the day Zach's like, hey, just be on the lookout. There's a barber chair being delivered to the house. And I was like, I'm not even going to, like, at this point, I don't even ask questions. I'm like, oh, okay. Most people would be like, did you know? And I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. This is just the newest thing we have. Like, we're doing this.
Well, one of the things that I love, and we'll close with this thought, but is that a lot of spaces will wait until someone is fully developed to get them into a position. We get them started, we put them in a position, we give them coaching, resources, and opportunities, and we give them space to shine.
Yep. We had a word on the fly.
That's exactly right. Yep. And there's something really beautiful about that kind of leadership. So next time we get together, may bring everybody back here, and we'll chat a little bit more about reflecting back a bit more on this past year and everything God has ahead. So we want to thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Come to the Table. We really hope that it's been an encouragement to your recovery or created in you a curiosity about walking in something new. If we can support you in any way, we encourage you to please reach out to us any way at all we can be useful at thetablebristol117@gmail.com. Friend, I want to tell you that you do not have to walk this road alone, that hope is much closer than you know. Grace and peace to you, my friend.